Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Hey, my name!
Hey, my name!
We get better and better!
We get better
and better!
We get
beat!
We get beat!
Boom! Beat!
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Great to have you in on a Wednesday. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Blackshirt Husker, NFLer Jay Moore, TJ Henning. It's a gun show with TJ Henning today. He's got the short sleeve on. Busy one. We will head to the beach of San Diego and talk Nebraska basketball and NCAA tournament with one Andy Markowski. Next hour, it is the full Monty with our bracket picks, steak and a beer. As always, we will keep a running tally.
I think I lost last year.
Yeah, I know you lost.
I don't think I paid
yet. It was phenomenal. I know you haven't, but some of us haven't. We owe you for the Lincoln Ortho Open. I do.
Yeah, Jay, I went with the awful Purdue pick last year, but I still won because I got like the most Sweet 16 teams,
So. Be quiet.
Humble brag.
Yeah. So here's what we have coming up in 1 hour. Brandon Vogel will join us. And I'm kind of proud, but I'm also distraught. Jeeves, that's Carson's nickname, after 6 o'clock because he turns into my butler, reaching and grabbing cold ones. Junior will be on with us. He will have his picks as part of the Hail Varsity Bracket Sound Off. Now, he is too busy on spring break playing video games and petting his dog to be in studio.
He got like, big time.
I got freaking big time by my own 10-year-old. And, of course, God forbid we put any miles on the lease. So she's watching, she being mama, is watching Netflix and refuses to drive north of O Street, let alone all the way out here to Cornhusker. Mm-hmm. So he'll be on the phone. I can't wait for this, though.
It'll be good. It'll be fun.
Now, we got to play the how far will we have Michigan State going game with Junior. Oh. You know what? And if you're like, leave your kid alone, quit going LeVar Ball here, I'm sorry. I'm going to go out on a limb here, and if he picks an amazing bracket, then I will exploit him. But we're going to do the beta test on this. If he can get the bracket right, maybe he can do other things, mm-hmm. aside from spend money. So, Andy Markowski, the bracket, pick 'em, and then Andy Markowski is coming up in 15 minutes. Mike Babcock, Babbers, will join us. We'll get some thoughts on spring ball with him. Numbers to get in, 466-3776, 466-3776. Toll-free, 1-800-825-5865. On Twitter, at @Schmidt_radio, at @JMoore44, at @TJ_Henning, and also at Hail Varsity. If you want to join and jump in with us, the text line is Hail, H-A-I-L, to 88474. We'll get into some spring football thoughts. Jay will have a thought on Rexy going to New England and then Nebraska's Pro Day. But let's start with the news today regarding Nebraska basketball. Another transfer. That is Jariah Horn. Jariah Horn is no longer part of Nebraska basketball. This quote from Tim Miles from the University of Nebraska. Jariah informed me earlier this week that he intends to transfer. Though I'm disappointed and hoped he'd stay at Nebraska, I fully support him as he considers his future plans. Horn 6'7", Overland Park. And here is my big regret with this. The anti-Miles crowd, and I really have no way to rebut this, is going to jump up and down and say, see, someone else is leaving. Someone else is getting the hell out. That happens in college basketball. It's happened a lot with assistants and players specifically at Nebraska. I have not done the national average research on that.
I saw a tweet today. It's about
2.3.
Yeah, 2.3 players a team.
So we're waiting on that 0.3.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, or that 0.3 could count as an assistant. I don't know. But what you have here is a guy who didn't score a ton and didn't play defense all that intensely. But my man Horn, in big games, they're all big, but in big games that Nebraska did well in, came in confident, which the other two freshmen this year had to build up their confidence, and their confidence was sometimes fleeting. A guy in Glenn Watson needs to work on his confidence. You had a guy come in, he already made, off the bounce, or able to spot up and hit a three against Indiana, against Purdue, sparked you, saved your bacon against Southern. He doesn't come in and get 18. The whole place is on fire. I don't like losing that type of mentality. Does he need to play defense? Does he need to practice harder? Rumor mill says yes. But my God, you have a guy like Horn that's kind of, and I don't mean this disrespectfully, but more of your, as far as the three freshmen you brought in, he's probably the least heralded when it comes to stars and ranking, okay? Mm-hmm. But he came in 6'7", offensively, got you what you needed in big games, went double figures, wasn't scared or wowed by the moment. He embraced it. Now, what he did on offense, he'd give up on defense, and he was just kind of a tough tweener with what he played on offense versus what he needed to do on defense. I wish him the best. I liked Horn. I loved watching him play. I thought he was an asset, and I, you know, the best game you played all year against Purdue, you had him and Jack on the floor getting kickouts, kind of spacing the lane, and they were hitting. They were hitting threes. And I think based on how Nebraska's offense is so hot and cold, man, it just is tough to lose a guy like that because he'd shown flashes already as an 18-year-old where he can go. Defense, was he ever going to get better? I don't know. But part of defense is effort and understanding. And I think there were a lot of breakdowns defensively. Look, Jack will bust his tail defensively. And a lot of times you still get the same result. Okay, you still got beat on a kick-out three or ball movement when it was either Jack or Horn out there trying to defend the three. So the result's the same. Offensively, they were similar as well. Jack probably stepped his game up offensively a little more consistently, but this is a freshman in Horn we're talking about, guys.
Yeah, I mean, tough one. You don't want to see it. You know it's anymore. Like
I don't
want to about,
see him. I don't right. care if you leave, but don't be
good. You know,
good.
Nick Fuller, I get. You know,
not too much to ask.
No, not at all. But, yeah, you had – I know he was very hot and cold. When he seemed like he was on. When he was off.
And they won when he was on,
right,
man.
He couldn't – you know, he couldn't have water if he fell out of a boat. So – but defensive thing I get, but he possessed some nice scoring capabilities that we're not going to have anymore. And this team in the past has struggled mightily to put the hoop in, put the ball in the basket. And you have, when you get that guy on the floor, you want to talk about confidence issues? That guy was struggling. He never showed it. If he got a shot, he was taking it. No. Which I like sometimes, you know? You shoot.
It was green light all the time.
Which I like. Aggressive. Shoot it. Let's make something happen. Because too many times, guys, they get too sheltered. They get too scared. I want some aggressiveness. You know, you're thinking about the next shot. You're not worrying about your last three or four misses. I can appreciate that. So, disappointed, yes. Kind of throws a little gasoline on the whole not getting rid of Miles issue to those people. That's a nice
it's another one.
Right, exactly. So it's going to happen sometimes. I just, you know, hopefully he finds a good place. Hopefully Nebraska can – other guys can step up because I think he could have, you know, grew. His role would have increased. His offensive performance would have gotten better. His defense would have gotten better. I mean, he's a nice – that's a big body, 6'7". That's kind of can be a matchup nightmare for teams.
Well, and he got jerked around maybe by his own doing because of practice. I'm just reading tea leaves here. But there's some games he'd come in and be the man, and there's some games he'd watch because maybe it wasn't what it needed to be, effort and intensity-wise in practice. That's just my judgment call. And maybe the jerking around part was more of a factor in kind of trying to housebreak this puppy, so to speak, versus the fact that he wasn't going to see more time. You can always see more time. It's up to you competition-wise.
Yeah, it hurts losing a shooter when you only had three. Now you're down to two. And, you got guys coming in like Palmer, Copeland, and Nana coming in. So he probably saw that there being a minutes logjam for him there, but not unexpected. These are two guys I thought would most likely be Fuller and Horn. But now the question is, will anybody else? And if anybody else does, I think that would be a surprise for me.
Well, if anyone else jumps ship, I mean, then it's then we might start talking DEFCON. And that's not to be overly dramatic on this. Two, normal. Who else can you lose? Nobody.
Nobody.
Nobody. Because you've invested and you see the future in Roby. You saw Jordy do a ton of things to get better. Glenn, it's going to be his team next year. Ed, despite the injury, I mean, he's there. And I'm not saying these guys are candidates or thinking about it. No. I'm just saying, I'm going down the roster list here.
No, you can't afford to lose anyone.
No, I mean, because you've got eight guys that have played pretty well for you at time, and now it's about getting them to play well together about 19 to 22 times a game next year.
And I'm not sure who the next likely guy would be after those two guys. I've had a lot of my friends mention Watson, but I'm like, he's got a starting position in the Big Ten. I don't know why he would give that up, and the way he's improved, although
help?
It didn't look, but maybe.
Help? I mean, you know, when you recruit these dudes, you can see them just ball, and you can see them do well against good competition or okay competition, but my man, you can't ever predict accurately how are they going to transition emotionally and mentally to being aggressive or having to be the guy who stirs it and finishes the drink, so to speak, because that's what's being asked of Glenn now. Shy dude. You have Roby, really super talented, a freak athletically, very passive in a bad way with taking control of a game offensively. You shot Jordy, screw it, throw me the ball down low, big dog, I'm going to put it up. And that's, you need more of that attitude, but it can't be reckless. So there needs to be a happy medium there. Football, spring football, another practice last night. Nebraska practices again tomorrow, and then it is spring break time. Did you ever have a spring break during your spring session?
No, we always started spring ball after spring break. So never.
I don't believe that was a team vote situation.
No, well, it was just the way it was. I mean, that's how. I mean, until I think Bo's second to last year, I think they kind of start instituting this new schedule. But I would have hated it because you kind of get in a rhythm, you start getting that rust knocked off, kind of getting your groove back, and all of a sudden you get a week off. Some people might like it, but to me, spring ball, no one likes spring ball as a player, and you're kind of elongating the whole process again. So, I mean, we knocked out 14 practices, you know, 15 with the spring game. You knocked it out in like 3 weeks. Now it's like a month and a half process, you know. So I don't know, but it's a different way of doing it. I know a lot of schools actually do it like this now, but never had spring break in between.
No, and you can't have too good a time down on the beach and then come back out of shape. Coach Diaco, after practice yesterday, the priority being stressed is?
You know, block destruction. It's a little different system, so block destruction is a little different fundamentally. The work done at the line of scrimmage, not behind it, on either side, is a critical component and a real important piece.
Bird, some of us have never block destructed for a while anyway. what's he talking about? He's talking about countering blocking schemes that you probably haven't seen in a 4-3 versus a 3-4.
Well, I also think it means, so a lot of times you play in a 4-3 defense, it's you're not going 1-for-1. So you're saying, I got my gap secured, I'm good. In 3-4, it's different now. You have to secure, you have to be in your area, but you also have to kind of take up multiple areas at the same time. So it's just different techniques, different mindsets. So if you're a defensive end and you got, you know, action, you know, down and you got a fullback coming to kick you out, normally you might spill that to where you're forcing everything to bounce outside to where your linebackers are going straight and make the play. Now you're probably hitting that thing a little more heavy, a little more face up if you're an outside linebacker to where you can make the play inside and outside. So you're kind of it's more difficult. It's going to take some time because after you've been in a system like that for a long time, when you're kind of doing that 1-for-1 spilling technique, you it's easier. It's easier on the player. Now it's just he's asking they have to do more now. Every player in that front seven now has to do more. Everybody's required to do more. The D-line has to do more with two gapping and learning the system. the outside linebackers have to rush and drop now, where they maybe just were, you know, the DNs were just rushing, obviously. So everything else is they're being asked to be do a, you know, a lot more different techniques. You got to be more efficient in how you do things. So you got to take care of multiple things instead of just taking care of yourself.
That's a lot of unselfishness.
Mm-hmm.
Understanding, and then, oh, by the way, get it so you can play fast. Here's Mick Stoltenberg. One of the questions he had last night, the biggest challenge is cut 17, about installation. Who said this a couple weeks ago?
I definitely just say kind of getting everyone to communicate the install and the new plays and stuff like that. I think everyone's giving great effort and everything like that, but it's just definitely getting guys on the same page as far as plays and stuff like that go.
Communication. Bird, you just kind of like shut your eyes and nod your head with that in that front seven, let alone the back four as well. It's a work in progress.
Oh yeah, you're every day the install you got to deal with all the, you know, once you put pads on, it kind of adds, you know, an element that messes with you mentally. But you got to get everyone on the same page. And now those defensive ends are outside linebackers who aren't used to making that communication now have to. It is a challenge. It's a definite challenge. You got to do more now.
Spring football, we'll spend some more time on it in about an hour. Up next from sunny San Diego, Andy Markowski to talk NCAA tournament and Husker basketball on Hail Varsity Radio.
Subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to hailvarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Well, we're going to get you primed for your NCAA tournament brackets with someone smarter than us. Somewhere wandering the streets of San Diego, Husker standout, the pride of Ord, Andy Markowski, at Markowski Andy on Twitter. Do you have the sunblock on? Are you catching some rays? How are you?
Not too bad. Unfortunately, I'm in a suit, but it is 85 degrees, so I cannot complain about that.
Well, and it is San Diego, so oh wow. Well, we're super jealous of you, Andy. We're going to ask you to share your thoughts on the NCAA tournament. But before all of that, confirmed today, Jariah Horn is leaving the Nebraska basketball program. What's your gut reaction to that?
Well, I anticipated him as being a potential candidate to transfer, you know, based on, you know, his role or maybe perceived value, you know, this season. You know, unfortunately, it's when you have 13 scholarship athletes, you know, you're only going to have 8 or 9 that get into the rotation. And when you're on the outside looking in, you know, most kids at 18, 19, I was in the same spot, frustrated. You can either, you know, bunker down, work harder and beat somebody out, or you can transfer. And you know, in the last decade, kids have proven they'd rather transfer than to you know, compete for minutes. It, you know, obviously he knows Copeland and Palmer are sitting out, you know, so, you know, they do the math, and it's unfortunate to turn kids over, but that's just the nature of athletics. And, you know, you wish Jariah luck, and, you know, you hope you have enough on your roster next year to be competitive.
You look at what Horn was able to do, and his season average doesn't blow you away, but what I was impressed with was what he did against Iowa, what he did against Maryland, what he did against Purdue. And that Southern game, he really flipped the script. He's kind of instant offense. That's what he was known for. And I liked having him and Jack on the floor, two guys that could let it go from three-point land. When Nebraska won, they were usually involved. Do you agree with that?
No, I you know, I think Jariah, you know, has showed signs of really scoring, but I also think his body type, his athleticism on the defensive end is never going to allow him to play a lot of minutes, which, you know, I don't think fit well into what he wanted his role to be. So there's no doubt he came in and gave Nebraska a lift offensively in a few games for a team that was offensive challenged. But as you look at, you know, what you want your prototype two or three to be, I don't know if Jariah fit that both offensively and defensively, in my opinion. So we like I said, you hate to lose kids, especially kids that have spent a year in your program. But you know, I think Jariah's a solid player, but I think you have to be better at that spot to be competitive in the top half of the league.
So, Andy, I want to give you credit. About 2 months ago on our show, you mentioned the possibility of Nick Fuller graduate transferring, and that ended up happening. And I don't think a lot of people gave that thought at that time. So, first question here for Nick Fuller, do you think he goes to another Power 5 conference, or do you think he goes to a smaller school for his playing time? And number two, would you be surprised if anybody else transfers on the team?
Well, certainly, you know, Nick Fuller is not a Power 5 player. You know, if he wants to have an opportunity to play and be an integral part of a rotation and a team, you know, he's probably looking at going back into the Horizon, Missouri Valley, that level. I think he's capable of having a good year at that level of school. I can't anticipate, you know, whether or not anybody else is going to transfer. I don't think so, because, you know, I think everybody else's role was pretty solid this year. But, you know, then again, nothing surprises me anymore with 18 to 22-year-olds. You know, I think the next person that transferred from Nebraska really is going to, you know, maybe send off alarms to me that there may be something else going on. And, you know, that next person transfers, now you're talking about guys that are good enough to really help you next year in the league, and that doesn't bode well, because anytime you start recruiting kids in the spring, most of the good kids sign in the fall. There's not a lot of talent that's out there. You can find occasional kid that can come in and help you in the spring signing period, but for the most part, they're kids that are, you know, a couple years away from helping you. So hopefully, you know, transfers are done, because, you know, I do like the core group that's back next year if they all stay.
Andy, was Horn playing out of position? I know he was a four in high school, and he was more of a guard spot at Nebraska where they had him. Was that fair to him, or was that just what was best for the team where he was put?
Well, the problem with Jariah is he is a three on offense and a four defensively, and those create challenges as a coach, because now you have a Jacobson and a Morrow that has to guard a four or five. So then, you know, Horn has to go out and chase perimeter players as a three defensively, which he really struggled. And I guess that goes back to my point on, mm-hmm. you know, if Jariah Horn is never going to be a 30-minute player at a Big Ten level, because he has deficiencies in how he wants to play. He's a three on offense and he's a four on defense. And, you know, as you deal with the better teams in BCS leagues, you can't have guys that cannot defend their position. Meaning, if you're a three on offense, you have to be able to go defend twos and threes, and I don't know if Jariah was ever going to be able to do that.
Okay, so Jariah was a shooter, one of three on the team, I thought, so now you're down to two shooters with Watson and McVay. You've got two scholarships open. Maybe one, you'll get that four-star guard, Mark Smith, out of Illinois. But if you're Tim Miles and you're looking at the graduate transfers, are you looking for best available or perhaps maybe the best shooter available?
Yeah, I always feel you got to try to fit the puzzle together. You know, you would love that best available to also be able to shoot, if that makes sense. But, you know, if you really feel shooting, you know, is your weakness, or that's the one piece that you can add to be better next year, I think you have to look there. I do think Copeland, Palmer, I do think there are some kids that are sitting out that will help you. And also, it's your job as a coaching staff and as a player to improve. I think Watson's a capable shooter. I think Jacobson is going to, you know, be more consistent shooter in time with work. So, you know, you have to take your pieces now and make them better as well, and that's what they're going to start working on this spring.
Andy, I want to go back to your decision to kind of stick it out. Can you be a little more in-depth with it, with your frustration and then the conversation you had with Coach Knee?
Well, yeah. You know, I played 9 minutes as a freshman, which, you know, at the time is a nice role for a freshman, especially in 96 when, you know, we were as talented as we were winning the NIT. But my conversation was with my dad.
Gotcha.
You know, I called home and said, you know, hey, I want to leave. I don't think I'm getting it for, you know, Shake. I feel like I can play more. And his message was pretty simple. You go back to work and you get it figured out, and, you know, you earn your spot. And certainly I've had I had conversations with Coach Knee. But that's the trouble that this next generation has is it's, you're not going to play as much as you did in high school. You're not going to have that role. And most guys are unwilling to you know, stay the course. And even if you have a 2 or 3 year career, that's a successful college career. But kids want everything as a freshman. That's what's, you know, unfortunately, in the recruiting process, you're promising the opportunity to play right away. You know, so you lead them down that path, and then when they don't, you have to deal with the repercussions, and that tends to be transfer. And so that was my path. And then my junior and senior year, they recruited guys to try to play over me. You know, and I just, you know, was willing to outwork them and hold my spot. And that was, you know, my career in a nutshell. But unfortunately, you know, kids, I just don't believe, have the patience to wait their turn or have the worst ethic to you know, maintain their spot through effort.
Andy Markowski with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Andy, want to shift gears. Have you looked at a bracket in depth yet? Or is that tonight?
I have. I spent the 24 hours up with ESPN on the 24-hour bracket challenge.
Nice.
I stayed awake at joking. But I couldn't get away from it. Obviously, you know, ESPN runs wild with it, so I've had the opportunity to fill a bracket out and to listen to all the experts and, you know, like everybody, try to make my best guess of what's going to happen.
Well, okay, you're our cheat sheet because you're the smartest dude we know
well,
with hoops.
I've never won a bracket challenge, so I guess I'm due. This might be the year.
You're overdue. What do you any crazy upsets you see? First of all.
Well, I don't know, you know, about crazy. Certainly, I like some of the 10s. I think there can be some 11s that have an opportunity to win. I actually like Miami or Michigan State beating Kansas. I do not trust Kansas. Bill Self's on record has been one of his, you know, poorest defensive teams. You know, certainly, I like their guards, their upperclassmen, mm-hmm. but they're not professional-level guards based on their size. I look at either a Miami or a Michigan State, you know, with veteran coaches, veteran teams. I think, you know, Kansas is the one seed that I'd be really nervous about if that's the team that people are picking to win it all. You know, they gave up 80-some points to TCU. I know they didn't have Jackson, mm-hmm. But, you know, TCU is not very good. To give up 80-some points tells you that there's some deficiencies on them from a defensive standpoint.
So Kansas might be endangered. Any Big Ten teams you love?
No, I do not love the Big Ten. I haven't loved the Big Ten all year. I do think Purdue, if any, has a chance to advance maybe past their seed line. You know, I think Minnesota, I actually think they drew an okay seed. I think their athleticism and size could give Butler a little bit of struggle, you know, in that second round, that 4-5 game. But I have Maryland going out in the first round. Actually, I think Michigan could lose. I thought Michigan got a really tough draw with an athletic Oklahoma State team and then to play a Rick Pitino Louisville team. I thought that was a really tough spot for Michigan. But yeah, I don't have any Big Ten teams going past the Sweet 16.
How about your Final Four? Who are the four?
You know, I like Gonzaga. I do think this is their best team. They have three high major transfers, so they're a little bit more athletic than what, you know, maybe Coach Few's had in the past. As much as it pains me, I do think Duke is going to come out of the East. I think Louisville is not as good a defensive team as what Pitino has had in the past. I mean, they've given up 87, 88, 90 points on the season. So I actually like Oregon to come through there. And then I have my national champion coming out of the South in North Carolina.
So you're going with Carolina. Okay. All right. So that's Gonzaga, Duke, Carolina. And who's out of that Kansas bracket? You said Oregon. Oregon.
Yeah, in Oregon, yeah. Which, you know, certainly losing Boucher to an injury I think will affect them. But I just like their toughness. There's something about this Oregon team. I don't like UCLA's toughness. I love Oregon's toughness, where I think you put them in a two-game tournament week in to week out. Those kids are going to find a way to win four and get to the Final Four. And you'll see you know, Nebraska native Dana Altman, which would be a great accomplishment for him.
Andy Markowski, Husker standout, pride of Ord. There's your bracket info from him. Andy, enjoy San Diego. Thanks for a few minutes, bud.
All right, guys. Stay classy.
You know what, San Diego? 6-month online subscription yours. Caller 6 right now. 466-3776. Caller 6 now. The 6-month online subscription for you to HailVarsity.com. Inside info, the message board, community recruiting analysis. Breaking news. Caller 6. Make it happen now. A 6-month online subscription. Caller 6. 466-3776.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN.
or text Hail to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio and JMore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Big thanks to Andy Markowski. Great stuff from him. His upset pick, Michigan State or Miami over Kansas. He says Carolina takes it all. 25 minutes away, it is our bracket picks. Jay Moore, TJ Henning, Brandon Vogel, myself, Carson Schmidt, in the honor of LeVar Ball, will also be a part of this NCAA tournament bracket selection. We usually have Mike Shewhart in. Shuey is in sunny Arizona with Nebraska Golf. Wilderness Ridge Golf segment will resume when Shuey gets back from the sunshine of Arizona. But you can find your way to Wilderness Ridge. Do so. It's going to be awesome weather tomorrow, Friday, into the weekend. Spring will finally get sprung here shortly. WildernessRidgeGolf.com, 402-434-5106. Membership pricing, membership benefits, if you ask real nicely. Jay Moore may swing a club with you as far as the longest drive competition. Throwing it out there.
I'm going to throw this out there. Speaking of LeVar Ball, who wins in a one-on-one matchup between you and Carson right now?
Oh, I smoke him. Easily. It's hard to shoot when you're bleeding.
You can only see out of one eye.
One. I'm covering myself. Both will be swollen shut. Structure and discipline.
I like it.
So, yeah, I just put you out there. I'm going to pimp Jay as a golf partner.
Holler at me. Let's go swing. It's going
to
be nice.
Tomorrow, come find us at Yowie's March to Prize Madness, 8th and Q. And an amazing TV setup. Great stuff with Yowie's Bud Light. They'll have Papa Shot down there. TJ, how many points you putting up?
60.
60? Okay. I'm going to put up 62. Overhead Door Company, Slim Chickens. Grand prize, you get to qualify for a 55-inch LG Smart TV. You can never have enough TVs. And a 55-inch Smart TV is awesome. A $100 gift card to Slim Chickens, Monster Jam tickets, concert tickets, and $200 garage door opener from Overhead Door, and more. Get logged on ESPN.com, search ESPN 1480, or search Hail Varsity with brackets around Nebraska. Still time to get in. Okay, let's talk Rex Burkhead. We kind of both looked at each other, TJ and I, and said, well, duh, New England's going to find Rex Burkhead. You know Rex, you know New England, you know the NFL. This move does what for the Patriots? From your perspective, you're a defensive guy. How do you see this stressing people in the AFC and beyond?
Well, it's just what the New England does. So they find really good football players that can do multiple things. So not only is Rex going to be a good option in the backfield, a good receiver, a good pass-catching back, he's going to provide them great experience in toughness and special teams. I mean, Rex played a lot of special teams with the Bengals. So New England always is going to get guys who have multiple tools in their toolbox. They never have it just a one-trick pony. Mm-hmm. And if it is, it's Tom Brady and it's probably Gronkowski. You know, other than that, you're going to most guys besides O-lineman, D-lineman, you're going to play some special teams. But they're getting a really good back. A tough guy. Football is he's a smart football player. Loves the game, but special teams is huge. Rex has done great jobs in the past few years with Cincinnati, and they'll have him doing multiple things out there. So I think they're going to invest their money wisely, and it just makes total sense. It's just like duh, like that's New England and Rex Burkhead is just synonymous because it's just you have tough, smart, football player. That's not your. Never too flashy. You know, they don't have those flashy guys. It's those guys that go to work, make plays.
Win.
Right. You get the job done. And you don't point to yourself afterwards. You just kind of say thank you and you go about your business. And it's a perfect fit for Rex.
Let's talk pro day. Brandon Riley, 4'4 and change. Good on the bench press. Newbie. We haven't seen an official time yet. Not yet, but he did well. Nate Gary and Seathan are both guys that are likely or most likely to get drafted, but he had Alonzo Moore run a 4.4. So, and then Sam Cotton did well. Got a Butch update yesterday. Butch was at at Pro Day cheering his brother on, and he said his brother did well. So, and then you had, of course, Tommy Armstrong show some athleticism, which you're used to seeing at quarterback, but he did it as a receiver. Of these guys I listed off, knowing what you know with the numbers, knowing what you know with doing the combine and pro day, you think some of these other guys have a shot to either be drafted or have enhanced their free agent opportunity?
I foresee the only two guys getting drafted are the two guys with the combine. It's rare. It's very, very rare that guys that don't go to the combine get drafted. I think there's maybe a handful of guys like that every year that get drafted who don't. I think, you know, in the past, I think Bo Rude was a sixth-round pick, and he didn't go to the combine of guys from the past from Nebraska. But, yeah, I don't. That's only two. But look, those are good numbers, man. You run in the 4.4s. I think Brandon Riley will get a shot in a camp. He'll be an undrafted. He'll definitely get a shot. I think Newby will for sure get a shot.
Those are the two guys I kind of circle.
Right. Other than that, I mean,
Zoe too.
Yeah,
he's got injury
history,
though.
That's the biggest thing. But I mean, listen, those NFL teams are bringing guys. They don't care. I mean, it's, you know, you sign a unrestricted free agent contract. It's like they fork out like $5,000 or whatever it is in a signing bonus, and hey, you come to camp. You come to you're there for the whole summer. You'll take a training camp, or maybe you're just coming to the rookie camp. You kind of do a tryout there. Who knows? So I would definitely see him. He's made enough plays. Sam, I don't know. It's just tough. He's not really been a great catch receiving.
You haven't
tight
seen
end.
It.
Right. You just don't know. I mean, yeah, decent inline blocking skills, but what else? I mean, again, in NFL, you have to be able to do, like I said, you have to have those tools in your toolbox. You have to be able to do multiple things. I just don't foresee. You know, I could be wrong, but he could land. But I just don't. Those three before we mentioned, I think those guys are for sure being a camp this July.
Kevin Maurice. Like,
oh yeah, I forget about Kevin Maurice.
I haven't mentioned him yet, but he's one of the defensive linemen that sticks. Yeah, 5'1", and I didn't see.
Those are fine. I mean, those you know, that's he's could potentially be nice thing with Kevin. I mean, and again, it's a nice thing, but also some people don't like it when they can't, you know, pigeonhole you into what you are, because I can see Kevin being a 3-4 guy or a 4-3 guy. Mm-hmm. So some teams could look at that as, oh, great, he could be multiple, but some teams are like, we don't know what he is, you know. So, but I think he'll for sure, without a doubt, will be in a camp. Drafted wise, now there's a guy I just completely spaced on him. There's a guy I could potentially see being a late sixth, a seventh round draft pick that didn't go to the combine. I could foresee, because he's played enough. He's played really well. You know, he's played good enough snaps, you know, being a starter, you know, and consistent enough to where he could land a late, very, very late round pick. But honestly, if you're going to get drafted in the seventh round, you might as well be. Unless you want the guy got drafted, but you're better off being an undrafted free agent. Then you can choose where you want to go, because the money's the same. The money's not that different.
Even they say now, and correct me if I'm wrong, fifth round. I mean, anything after the fifth round, maybe you're better off being a free agent.
Yeah. I mean, six. I mean, you might make, you know, pad your pockets a little more. But
okay. All right. Well, we have the selection of work excuses for tomorrow, ready to go for the tournament.
Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
Friendly reminder, March to Prize Madness commences tomorrow with ESPN. We'll be down there. Yowies, enjoy yourself. Enjoy the tournament. 8th and Q. Now, how's your boss? Can you ask your boss to come with you? If the answer's new, we have some suggestions. Don't ever lie. Never, ever, ever lie. But things may come up. So I ask you this. When it comes to the NCAA tournament and excuses that are pretty ironclad to miss work, here are the following. Well, there's kind of the... Now, it's like a bracket, to be honest with you. We got to go with one seed through... 6 seed here. Make that 5 seed. Nope, 6 seed. Health, children, pets, the almighty jury duty, wedding, not on a Thursday, but damn it, got to go out of town. And the last choice is honesty. How are we seeding these get-out-of-work excuses for the NCAA tournament? Health? Got a bad stomach bug, man. It's coming out of both ends. I can't be at work.
See, I have a hard... Karma is...
Yes.
A mother. So you don't ever want to say anything about your kids.
Carson's, yeah, I mean, had a lawn mowing accident.
See, I can't... Karma is a mother. I would just say either you just take the day off, ask for it, use your PTO if you have it available, or... I mean, who's not going to have it on there? If you have a computer at your desk, who's not having it on
your computer? A lot of places block that now. Oh, can't go to ESPN.com.
I mean, if you're smart, I would just...
I think honesty is always the best.
Businesses need to embrace it because it's just part of it. It's, you know, it's a couple days out of the year.
I'm going to be worthless in the office.
Yeah, you're...
Let me go, or let's all go. Business is going to stop and shut down, and then MSNBC is going to have a report of lost man hours and lack of production across the United States the next 3 weeks.
Yeah.
It'll happen by May. You'll have that article. Here's how much America lost.
Yeah. I mean, the first 2 days should honestly be a holiday and everybody gets off. But isn't the first 2 days also the most time the men schedule their vasectomy?
So yeah. They could, yes. Yeah, get a bag of peas or corn and do
well,
that
well
one.
Well played. Very yeah. Well played. I mean,
thank you for that.
No,
a play-in game vasectomy. The wedding thing could work.
Mm-hmm. That's the safest one.
Jury duty.
Yeah, you might have to show you like provide the paperwork or something
proof.
Like that. Yeah.
Pets.
That's safer. You know,
I mean, depending
I don't have
on
a
what
pet,
type of
but...
psycho dog or cat you have. Mm-hmm. Oh, my pet got into the Ajax again and it's going crazy. Children, though, children always work because no one will to your face question you about your kids.
Well, you could always
behind
say,
your back, you they know, will blast you. Ah, kid's always sick. He's using it as an excuse.
Well, you could always say, oh,
no, Timmy has
daycare had, you could use daycare as an excuse. Daycare, you know, had outbreak of lice, so they're shut down for the next 2 days.
Yeah.
They're the whole place out. You know, someone got sick. So they, you know.
Daycare provider's on meth, and she won't give my child back. Let's pray that's not the case. Health. Hey, Jay, punch me in the face real quick.
Right. Slam my hand in the car door.
Oh, look at that. It's bruised, and I'm on painkillers. All right, we will unveil our bracket picks next on Hail Varsity Radio.
Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Hey, Van D!
Hey, Van D!
We get better,
better!
We get
better,
better!
We
get beat, beat!
We get beat, beat!
Boom, beat, beat!
Boom, beat, beat!
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Hour 2, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore, TJ Henning. You've been waiting for this, and if you haven't, just play along. It is time for the Hail Varsity Bracket Selection portion. We get you ready for the tournament. Yowie's tomorrow, Friday, throughout the tournament here in Lincoln. If you're outside Lincoln, by all means, come see us. 8th and Q in the Haymarket. Great prizes, great fun, and great TV setup. It is, without further ado, we welcome in the brain portion to help you with these brackets. Not me, but Jay Moore is... more than capable of finding a darling, a Cinderella. TJ Henning eats and sleeps and breathes basketball. Brandon Vogel, along with Eddie Markowski and Garth Glissman, some of the smartest dudes I point to. And we welcome in the spirit of LeVar Ball, when it comes to prodigy, or at least playing it up, we welcome in Carson Schmidt. Gentlemen, how are we doing? Vogues, I'll start with you.
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me. Excited about this.
Thank you. TJ, are you good with this? Your final word goes here. Do we let Carson hang on the line and do this?
He's ready to roll.
Okay. Jay?
Mm-hmm.
Are you all right with having a Michigan State fan on the other line?
That's okay.
Okay. Jeeves, how are you?
Good.
Is the dog put away?
Yes.
Okay.
We made sure.
I mean, you weren't attacked on live radio. All right, let's get our regions going. We will start with the East bracket. And how we're going to do this so we're not going, well, see, I have this pick here and this is... No, we're going to kind of macro it out for you. In the opening round, Vogues, I start with you in the East bracket. Any surprises to the round of 32 you have?
No, I'm pretty chalky there, although I'll note that South Carolina is probably offering some more value at 7 seed over a 10 than they're being given credit for. So, not an upset, but probably worth picking.
I just want to see Frank Martin lose his mind when Duke starts to get some home cooking, even though that game will be in Greenville, South Carolina. That's my hope.
No, Frank Martin losing his mind is always a good thing. And in fact, I'm banking on that Greenville home cooking a little bit here with this pick. Because I don't love South Carolina, but the numbers say I should go there.
Okay. Jay Moore, any surprises the opening round of 32?
I'm chalk as well. I actually got Marquette winning that game.
Okay.
You got Wojo leading up, man. He's a Duke guy. I'm a Duke guy. So I'll take – I like the Duke-Marquette matchup in the next round.
Okay. TJ.
I have Marquette as well. My one surprise, UNC Wilmington going to the Sweet 16. I have them upsetting UVA. I thought about Florida losing to Eastern Tennessee State, so I'm going UNC Wilmington over Florida.
I'm very boring. I have chalk. I have all the higher seeds advancing to the round of 32 in the East bracket. Carson Schmidt, Jeeves, what do you have?
Let me get pulled up here. I've got...
Quickly.
I've got all the higher seeds.
Okay.
I've got South Carolina winning against Marquette.
Okay, there we go. Breathe deeply. Round of 32, we move on now. It's some of the more interesting matchups. Nova, Wisconsin is what everyone has. Vogues, does Nova move on to the Sweet 16? Any issues with your Sweet 16 from that 32, that 32 to the 16?
32 to 16, let's see. I've got SMU beating Baylor. More on the Mustangs a little bit later. But otherwise, I'm going Villanova, Florida, narrowly over Virginia. I'm still going back and forth on that one. And then, of course, Duke progressing.
Okay. I'm with you. I have Nova over Whiskey, although that'd be very Wisconsin of them to pull the upset. I have Florida over Virginia, not because I think Florida's a great basketball team. I can't stand Virginia and their style of play, so as soon as they're out, the better for all of us watching. I like SMU over Baylor. I just think SMU's not very deep, but they're very talented. Baylor's not smart with the basketball. And I have Duke over South Carolina. So I have Nova, Florida, SMU, Duke onto the Sweet 16, Jay Moore.
Yeah, a lot of chalk here for me. Nova over Wisconsin. Virginia actually goes on. I don't know why. I don't like their style of play either, but just how it worked out. Duke over SMU.
Okay.
Into the Elite Eight.
Nova versus 12 seed, UNC Wilmington, and then I've got Baylor versus Duke on the other side.
Okay. And Carson Schmidt, who is on to your Sweet 16?
I got... Villanova, Florida, Wisconsin, no.
Are you lying to me? Is your bracket even pulled up?
Yeah, I'm trying here, okay?
Was it the Wi-Fi at home again?
Yeah.
Tell your mom to stay off the computer past 1 a.m.
I don't know. Okay, Villanova, Florida, SMU, Duke. So, okay. Same as
all. All right. That's what I have, too. I'm frightened. Lastly, out of that Sweet 16 on to the final East Regional, do we have any disagreement between Nova and Duke?
Nope.
Yes.
No, I got Florida and Duke.
So you have Florida and Duke? I mean, I said Nova and Duke. Nova and Duke, or do you have Florida moving on past Villanova?
Past Villanova.
Florida. So you have Florida. Carson Schmidt says Florida v. Duke in the East regional final. We'll see. Vogues, what do you think?
I'm saying Nova versus SMU. I'm really scared about the Mustangs' depth here, but there's almost no value in picking Duke. Too many people are on them after their ACC title run. So give me the Mustangs in a value play.
It'll be vacated in 2 years anyway, but I love the call. I'm not gutsy enough to make the call. And your final four out of the East, I have Duke.
I have Duke.
Duke.
Nova.
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 Okay. Okay, that's where we disagree. Let's move on. The shot clock is at about 8 minutes. The Midwest is interesting. Do we have chalk, or do we have an upset, Vogues, to start us off out of the Midwest?
The only one is Oklahoma State, Michigan. Michigan is offering not good odds right now, so I'll take Oklahoma State and their stupid three-point shooting.
Okay, I have Michigan moving on. I have Rhode Island over Creighton. That's my upset, not really an upset. And I have Michigan State over Miami. TJ?
I've got Rhode Island over Creighton. And then I've got Michigan making it to my Elite Eight.
I love that.
That's a good
Jay?
Point. I'm saying Michigan State moving on. I got Rhode Island over Creighton. I got Michigan. But, again, I got Louisville going in, winning that one. I got Oregon moving on. Purdue versus Michigan State. Michigan State over Kansas.
Ooh. Wow.
I got Michigan State over Kansas.
Yeah, no kidding. Junior, how far do we have Michigan State going?
Let's check here. They lose to Oregon.
Well, you actually have them losing.
Oh, okay.
Oregon, though.
I'm going to tell Bridges. That's okay. Let's go to the Sweet 16 here. I have Kansas barely over Sparty. Give me Purdue over Iowa State. Give me Oregon and give me Michigan onto the Sweet 16, TJ.
Yeah, I've got Kansas versus Purdue. Kansas over there. I've got Michigan over Oregon. So Kansas and Michigan will meet up.
Vogues.
Yeah, I'll go Kansas, but I'll take the Cyclones over Purdue, and then Kansas to progress out of there. Oregon against Louisville. Louisville moves on.
Okay, okay. I have Michigan against Louisville, and I have Louisville falling to Michigan. I have Oregon over Rhode Island. I have Purdue over Iowa State. I have Kansas again. Moving on. Jay, any shakeup with you?
Not really, no. I got Purdue moving on to play Louisville in the Elite Eight.
Okay. Carson Schmidt, what's your Midwest bracket look like when we get to the Midwest final? The final two teams in that Midwest bracket are who?
I've got Oregon, and I have Michigan State. I have Oregon running.
Okay, okay. So you have Oregon going to the Final Four?
Yes.
I have Kansas going to the Final Four. Jay, who is your Final Four pick?
I got the Ville.
Louisville.
Rock chalk.
And Vogues, you might be repeating yourself, forgive me, but who's your Final Four pick out of the Midwest?
Louisville.
Okay, the Ville. All right. Let's head to the South region. Carolina, the top seed. Your two seed is Kentucky. You know, I'll start off Carolina, Arkansas for me. I like Minnesota to avoid the upset. I like Butler to avoid the upset. Give me Cincinnati over K-State. That'll be a bloodbath. And give me UCLA moving on. And Wichita State, the trendy 10-seed pick. I think they make it past round one. And then give me Kentucky. Upsets for me. I have Minnesota over Butler. I have Carolina over Arkansas. It's not an upset. I have Cincinnati beating UCLA in the round of 32. And give me Kentucky over Wichita State. Jay.
Mine's about the same. I got NC moving on to play Minnesota. In the Sweet 16, I got UCLA versus Kentucky.
Rematch.
Yes, to go to in the Sweet 16. I got Wichita State moving on, Cincinnati winning as well, but mine's damn similar to yours.
Vokes.
Yeah, not too far off. I also like Cincinnati. They're offering a little bit of value. Minnesota is not, so I'll take the Blue Raiders of Middle Tennessee State to advance there. And Wichita State, I'm shocked by you called them trendy, and I felt the same, but not enough people are picking Wichita State based on their win probability.
Okay, okay. TJ.
Go Middle Tennessee over Minnesota, K-State over Cincinnati. I kind of felt like everybody was picking Wichita State, so I decided to go Dayton, although Vogue says otherwise. Got UCLA over K-State, Kentucky over Dayton. Got UNC meeting Butler, and UCLA meeting Kentucky.
Okay. Carson Schmidt, what's your Sweet 16 look like?
I've got North Carolina, Minnesota, Cincinnati, and Kentucky.
Him and I are right on par, man. He is my kid. All right.
Son.
Yes, we're both going to lose our ass. I have Carolina over Minnesota, Kentucky over Cincinnati. Give me Kentucky over North Carolina to the Final Four.
I got NC versus Kentucky, Elite Eight. I got NC going to the Final Four.
UCLA over UNC.
Okay. Vogues, give me your Final Four out of the South.
Kentucky over North Carolina.
Nicely done. Carson Schmidt, who do you have, Kentucky or Carolina?
I have Carolina. But I have Cincinnati playing North Carolina.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right. So you have Cincinnati over Kentucky. Someone's been watching SportsCenter.
Yes.
All right. Let's head to the West region, as I love me some Zona. I also like Northwestern. I like West Virginia a ton. And give me the Terps to get to the Sweet 16. So my Sweet 16 is Gonzaga, West Virginia, Maryland, Arizona, Jay.
Yeah, this one is – the West brackets isn't doing it for me. My big upset here is I got Bucknell going to the Sweet 16.
Mm.
Just going – just, you know what?
Why not?
Just wild hair, you know? So I got – you know, moving on. Maryland against Arizona in the Sweet 16.
Okay. TJ.
Got Xavier upsetting Maryland. Dunk City upsetting Florida State.
Wow.
So 11-14 meeting there. St. Mary's versus Arizona. I've got Notre Dame, West Virginia, which is a tough matchup to pick, and then Gonzaga, Northwestern.
Okay. Vogues, what do we got here as we get to the Sweet 16?
Yeah, this is the most interesting bracket to me, and the one where I'm probably taking the most chances. My Sweet 16, I've got Gonzaga against West Virginia and Florida State against St. Mary's. Sorry, Jay.
All right. Carson Schmidt, your Sweet 16 looks like what?
I have Gonzaga winning over Northwestern, West Virginia over Notre Dame, Florida State over Xavier, and Arizona.
Okay. My Sweet 16 to my Elite Eight is West Virginia over Gonzaga, Arizona over Maryland, and give me the Cats to the Final Four. Jay.
I got the one versus two, and I got Gonzaga going to the Final Four.
Okay.
It's on my phone. I got a
TJ.
Zags over Arizona.
All right, Vogues.
Zags over the Seminoles for me.
Ooh. Carson Schmidt.
I have Gonzaga over West Virginia, and I have Arizona going to the Final Four.
My Final Four, Duke versus Arizona, Kansas versus Kentucky. Give me Duke over Kansas to win it, Jay.
I got Duke playing North Carolina in the national championship.
Good
free match for the fourth time. Duke winning it all.
Okay. TJ.
I'm a homer.
Mark Few, they're finally going to do it. The Zags over KU.
Wow. Vogues.
I love that pick from TJ. Gonzaga is offering a ton of value if you can pick them to get there. Me, I've got Villanova beating Gonzaga in the Final Four, playing Kentucky, who beat Louisville, and the Wildcats win it all.
Okay. Carson Schmidt, 30 seconds, your Final Four, and who wins?
I have Duke playing North Carolina, and I have Duke winning it all.
A lot of Duke here.
Uh-huh. All right. Carson, I'm proud of you. If you're eating in bed again, you're grounded. Okay? Did you just hang up? Carson, you be good, all right?
Okay.
Love you.
Love you.
Bye. There he is, Carson Schmidt. His first foray into handicapping. And our brackets are the damn same. I'm scared. Vogues, thanks for the enlightenment, my friend. Good stuff.
All right, thanks, guys.
There he is, Brandon Vogel. Jay Moore, staking a beer bet, obviously. Mm-hmm. That goes without saying in this room. The loser has to buy it. Mike Babcock up next on Hail Varsity.
Former black shirt, Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, pull back up, Jay. Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
All right, thank you for bearing with us on the Hail Varsity NCAA Tournament Bracket Selection. Thanks to Brandon Vogel. Thanks to Carson Schmidt. And thanks to TJ Henning and, of course, Jay Moore for funding my steak and beer quest in 2017.
You're welcome. Yeah. You know, more you can do, right?
That's right. We welcome in historian, author, Hall of Famer, 39 years and counting of Nebraska football and Nebraska coverage, Mike Babcock at MD Babs on Twitter. Babbers, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. I'm still trying to figure out the Bucknell in the final 16, and I'm kind of torn between agreeing with your expert there, Carson, on Duke, or my grandkids who live in Olathe, Kansas, and are huge Kansas fans. So I guess I'm going to have to say Kansas there, although I guess I'm going to have to watch this Bucknell team to see how that goes.
Well, Babbers, you know, when you're just kind of filling it out and you have you got Princeton beating, you know, Notre Dame, and then Bucknell wins too, you're like, well, get the two really smart schools, so you got to pick one of them. So just, you know, how it happens sometimes.
I kind of like Princeton, you know. I think Bill Bradley's done playing for him.
Yeah.
but kind of like that Princeton thing, too.
Well, Babbers, you fill one out, man. How? What's your Final Four look like?
No, I don't fill one out. Because,
what?
Well, it's just a waste of energy because they're all out after about two rounds.
Have a little more faith, Mike. Come on now.
No, I just, like I said, I listened to the experts, and Carson said Duke, so I'm thinking Duke's got a good shot at it, and then, as I said, the grandkids are KU fans, so I can't dismiss the fact that the Jayhawks are in the hunt, although the Jayhawks haven't exactly distinguished themselves in the NCAA tournament here of late, but they get there, so.
No, they're good.
Mason the third might get them all the way.
He is tremendous. Mike, let's talk some spring football, and you have you had a chance to get caught up with Mick Stoltenberg a bit yesterday, and you know, kind of what's your gauge on how things are working for him, not only with weight but also kind of technique. They're working on that, and then just positioning. How's the spring gone for him? And what was kind of your read on the defense yesterday?
Well, you know, Mick, obviously, he's very upbeat about things. You know, he's put on some weight. He's over 300 pounds. He said he's comfortable with that. He's always been, an impressive-looking guy. I mean, he certainly looks the part for that nose guard in that 3-4. And you know, Jay can speak to this, but the thing that I'm always cautious about when you make any kind of dramatic change like this. Obviously, guys are going to say that, you know, they're comfortable and they feel good about the way and the direction things are going. But this is a pretty dramatic change for some guys. And, you know, I wonder if people on the outside are overly optimistic about how this is going to look because they don't take into consideration whether they take into consideration Bob Diaco's energy. There's no question about that. The guy has got tremendous energy and enthusiasm for what he's doing. But this is no small thing to make this change, particularly because Nebraska hasn't exactly recruited for this defense, I don't think. And so you're asking some guys maybe to play a little bit different position than that for which they were recruited. So that's a long way of saying that, Mick Stoltenberg is enthusiastic and optimistic about the way things have changed, and I feel good about it from that standpoint. But I also think that this is a major change in approach, and there are going to be some growing pains, I think, until you actually sort out who fits well where. He's probably one guy where you don't have that question. You know where he's going to be, right in the middle of things. And he definitely looks the part, and he said he's comfortable with it. So I feel good about that. But again, with some qualification of how difficult it is to change systems that way. It takes more than enthusiasm. I'll give you an example. Back in the day, I used to listen to a band called Dan Hicks and the Hot Licks. Remember them?
Yeah.
And they have a song called "Where's the Money," and they're singing along, and all of a sudden, in the middle of it, they stop, and Dan Hicks says, "You probably think this is easy. It's not. Thank you." And then they resume playing, singing the song. He's kind of a funny guy. That's what I think of when I look at this switch over to 3-4. You know, you probably think this is easy. It's not. Thank you. Let's get back to work.
No, that's well said. You hit the nail on the head there, Mike. There's going to be some definite growing pains. You got guys that are doing things they've never been asked to do, and it's going to take some time. And I know Coach Riley said that this isn't a change he made to work out over a couple of years. No, he wants this fixed, you know, yesterday. So it's going to be interesting to see. But did Mick hint at all to anything that's he's struggled with, or he said he's comfortable, and some players don't like to comment on anything that's been, you know, that he's uncomfortable with still, or it's been a struggle for him. But did he hint at all for himself or other guys across the D-line that they might be struggling with right now with the new changes going to a 3-4 scheme?
No, not that I had no sense of that. He's a very upbeat guy, and, you know, I think he's a very coachable guy. So I think he was very positive about not only what he had to do and how, you know, was kind of refining some things that he was comfortable with. But he said the same kinds of things with his teammates, and that, you know, again, you know, that's what I would expect from a young guy like that. And as I do with so many things, you know, I compare it to when, Osborne went from that 50 front to a 4-3, and it might have seemed like it was overnight, but Nebraska had been doing that 4-3 thing in a situational defense, and Osborne was always concerned about whether it would hold up against the run, because at that point you're playing Oklahoma every year, you're dealing with the wishbone offense or whatever, and you want to make sure that you can deal with the running teams that you're playing during the regular season before you get into a bowl game, and then all of a sudden you're facing these passing teams. So he wasn't sure whether that was going to hold up against the run. Well, the fact is he decided, yes, it did. It would hold up against the run, and it might have looked like it was like an overnight transition, but it wasn't, because Nebraska had been doing those kinds of things in situational defenses during the season, before it went to the 4-3 as its base defense full time, which then led to the national championships. But it wasn't an overnight kind of a thing. And I don't think that Nebraska has been working on this, you know, as a situational defense. I think it's a change in defensive philosophy that that's why I say these things. But, you know, from Stoltenberg's standpoint, you know, it's all positive, and that's what I would expect from him. That's his attitude. That's his, you know, my sense is that's his approach to the game, is he's going to be coachable and he's going to see things in a positive way.
Mike Babcock with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at MD Babs on Twitter. Babbers, let's talk offensive line. What have you noticed about the O-line through the first few practices, and what's kind of your read on that position group? Because quarterbacks are nice, running backs are great, wideouts are impressive, but the O-line will get it done. You and I are, along with Jay, I mean, that's a main concern of ours. Anyone standing out to you?
Well, things I hear, for example, I think they feel good about the way John Reardon has made the adjustment to center. I think they feel good about Bo Wilson. You know, that he's pushing guys, and if it doesn't end up that he's one of the first five, it's going to be because the first five, the two guards that are in that first five have done a great job, because I think Bo Wilson is a real deal, and I think the coaches feel good about him. The thing that you guys have addressed this, I think, but, you know, I thought it was interesting that Mike Riley said that, you know, he's never really had basically a two deep in that front five, never had 10 guys, but they're close to feeling like they do have that now. That's probably a good sign. and it might reflect a little bit of a change because Coach Kavanaugh has always said, you know, I put the five best guys out there, and that's the way it is. You know, they don't rotate. He doesn't rotate guys. But maybe they have the talent now, the ability, which, you know, again, from my limited perspective, I think that's what they need to do. They need to rotate some guys in there to keep them fresh and also to keep give guys experience so that if somebody gets hurt, it's not as quite as devastating because you've got people with experience. And I think that they have that. I think they have competition there, and so you get a sense of maybe who the first five are, but it's not clear-cut because there are guys that are pushing for positions, and I think, you know, Reardon and Wilson in particular are two guys that fit that.
Babers, about 30 seconds. Anything shaken out at the right tackle spot?
The right tackle, I think that's good competition there. I think it's going to come down to Neville and Conrad right now. I think Farniak maybe has a little ways to go. I think you've got good competition there. I like Conrad. I mean, sometimes people maybe overlook him a little bit, but I think it's good competition at right tackle. And I think you're going to, when they open up, there's going to be a guy that's going to be pretty solid because of the competition that they do have.
Babers, we will get caught up with you next week. Thanks for a few minutes today. In about 20 seconds, what's coming up with Hail Varsity, the new issues out?
Well, we got a nice feature on Jake Myers, and he's starting to hit now, and he's pitching well, and good stuff. Also, a Q&A with Mojo Hagee. You know, there's a walk-on that's gone right to the top of the batting order and really been a good thing. So it's got a little bit of a baseball bent to it, and a nice story Jacob Padilla did on Ty Webster.
It's phenomenal, and you'll want to catch it for Nebraska baseball and, of course, that Webster story. Mike, thanks for a few minutes, bud. Great to talk for some NCAA tournament and some Husker spring ball. Thank you so much.
Hey, go Bucknell /Duke/Kansas.
That a boy.
Take care, Mike. Thanks again. Mike's story on Jake Myers is must read, and can get a copy today with Hail Varsity Magazine, hailvarsity.com/subscribe. A Jock Doc when we come back.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right, all right, all right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Time for a Jock Doc Wednesday, Lincoln Orthopedic Center. Dr. Doug Tavis with us. Dr. Doug, how you doing?
Just filling out my brackets, Chris. Getting all filled out already, I guess. I should say that.
You still got time, because technically those play-in games are kind of freebies, depending on how strenuous the bracket pool you're in is. Now, is it pen or pencil for you? You got it in pen?
No, it's got to be a pencil.
All right. And that's fine. And are you limited to just one pool?
Yeah. We'll just stick with the family pool. It costs too much otherwise.
Oh, there we go. There we go. Well, a couple of teams that are trying to put a run together. One's a four seed. One's a three seed. That's Florida. That's Oregon. But Oregon, you know, kind of a Nebraska connection with Dana out there at Nike U. Chris Boucher is tremendously talented down low player. And he is out. ACL injury for him happened in the Pac-12 tournament over last weekend. But you know what? An MRI is what said he had an ACL issue, Dr. Doug. He played and scored double digits the night before. Let's start there. How does a guy have that sort of performance with an ACL injury?
Yeah, it's actually very unusual because it was an identifiable injury. In other words, it was noted, you know, that he was battling for a rebound with another guy and had an injury to his knee, but then was able to come back and play. So you know, the idea that an ACL tears and then an individual doesn't swell up to the point that they have difficulty playing and doesn't have instability, those are all unusual circumstances. But basically what happens in some of these situations is that you can have a partial ACL tear. It may still leave the knee with a situation where the player feels unstable with the knee, and they may be able to awkwardly play somewhat on that knee, but because of it being a partial injury, it may not swell up, may not get all that painful right away, and they may not realize the severity of the injury.
Dr. Doug, and this seems not so so well thought out, but what prevents a kid from just throwing a really tight brace on and keeping playing and not saying anything to his coach?
Yeah, the well, what prevents it generally is that they still have instability, and they, you know, they, especially in a game like basketball, you know, even with a brace on, you pivot and the knee can give out. But in some situations where the medial and the lateral meniscal cartilage are still intact and did not get damaged when the ACL tore, you can go ahead and brace a person and allow them to try and play. If they do not have episodes of instability in the brace, then it's really not particularly detrimental to have them go ahead and play. Now, the hard part is sometimes they will have the instability in the brace, and so their knee will give out on them, even though the brace is on. So it's a unique set of circumstances. They have to have normal meniscal cartilages, no injury to those. And if they have that and the knee recovers, you can try and go with the brace and see how you do with it. But if the knee is unstable in the brace, then my advice is certainly to sit them out and just stop the season at that point.
Jock Doc Wednesday, Lincoln Orthopedic Center, Dr. Doug Tavis. We're talking Chris Boucher of Oregon, tremendous talent, kid who's overcome a ton and is out for the tournament with that ACL. Dr. Doug, when it comes to basketball and ACLs, how common is an ACL problem when it comes to guys on the hardwood? We talk a lot about it in football, it seems like. But in basketball, is it pretty common as well?
Yeah, I think statistically it's the third most common sport for okay. the ACL injuries. Soccer and football would be the most common ones, and then basketball would be number three. But, the interface between the foot and the floor is the issue in basketball. Most of these are non-contact injuries in basketball as opposed to what occurs in football. There we can see ACL tears occurring very frequently as a result of a contact. But in basketball, what happens is that, you know, we have the technology of the shoes and the way the floors are treated is so good that the interface doesn't allow for much slippage between the shoe and the floor. And so if there's a rotational strain to the leg, it's not going to get absorbed by the foot slipping on the floor as much, and therefore that strain goes up the leg and may involve the knee, and then that's where the ACL tear happens. So most of those are non-contact injuries in basketball.
Well, he landed awkwardly going up for a rebound, and that's when it happened. Let's talk procedure and recovery for a guy like Boucher and prognosis for him moving forward.
Well, you know, thankfully the prognosis is really good. If you look statistically, the numbers will vary between 93 and 95% likelihood of him being able to return to participate in basketball at a level very like he was at previously. There's some question as to whether or not people can really elevate their game very much beyond where they were at the time of the injury, but getting back to playing is a very, very high likelihood. The timing for ACL reconstructions and getting back to sports has kind of vacillated back, you know, when we first started doing these things in the 80s. It wasn't uncommon for people to be out for a year. And then the pendulum swung way back to about 3 and 4 months. And then we started to see some re-tears, and then the pendulum has kind of swung back again. But generally, those people that have been kind of at that six-month mark for returning, that's been a pretty good number for most people.
Dr. Doug, what's a common hitch in recovery time with that 6 month?
If the meniscal cartilages are torn.
Gotcha.
It depends on how they tear, but a lot of times we'll see a very small tear to the lateral meniscus, and it'll just be a real quick little trim up, right, as part of the ACL reconstruction. But if we have a big tear and it's a tear where the meniscus is salvageable and we're able to repair it, we end up having to back down the rehab and slow down that rehab just a little bit, so that it may end up being another 3 or 4 weeks of rehab tacked onto your typical rehab with the ACL. Not always, but it's one of those things that would be a potential. And of course, if there's another ligament injury, another ligament injury at the time of the ACL tear, that certainly can slow things down. You know, that's the ACL, LCL kind of an injury that, we'll see with the football players, especially on a contact injury. Those will slow it down.
Dr. Doug, thanks for a few minutes today. Good luck with your bracket.
All right. Thanks, Chris.
Subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to HailVarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back with the Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. I know what her bracket looks like and who is ending up on top. Deb, the Spa Lady, Home Innovation Spas, 20th and Highway 2. Deb, I'm sure you could put a bracket contest together with all the spas you have to choose from, couldn't you?
Yes, we could, and I was thinking we should have a St. Patrick's Day sale.
Ooh.
So we'll be having great sales, and you don't even have to buy a green hot tub. You can buy any color you want. We'll have it all.
Well, and you
so
can.
So we'll do some. Oh, go ahead.
No, I interrupted you. I apologize. Let's say you could have one hot tub that is relaxing and another that could be, I don't know, kind of stirring other green liquid, correct?
Stirring up, yes. Yeah, we can do that, definitely. And we've got a lot of inventory. I just did a new checklist here, and we've got a lot of spas in stock. So you come in, you purchase a spa, we'll have that spa there in no time. You don't have to wait for us to order it. We've got it in stock with all the bells and whistles, or if you want something very simple, we can do that too. So come in and check out our St. Patrick's Day specials / March Madness.
That's the way to do it. March is a great time of year. St. Patty's a wonderful celebration. If you're a basketball fan or you just need to relax a bit, go see Deb at Home Innovation Spas, 20th and Highway 2 in Lincoln, a location in Omaha, spasonline.com. Deb? Are the Jayhawks cutting the nets down?
I hope they are. They're top of my bracket. But, you know, last Thursday night I was pretty down and out. But I'm in a better mood today, and I'm ready to go. So it's all going to start again, and it's going to be so much fun.
Go see Deb at Home Innovation Spas. Go see her for St. Patty's Day, that sale, that special going on. And talk some hoops with her. Deb will always talk some basketball. Deb, enjoy the madness. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, sounds great.
There she
Bye-bye.
Is. Deb, the Spa Lady. Deb was comforted by all of Ames, Iowa, down in Sprint Center. She's
yeah.
down there for uh-huh. the TCU game.
Yeah, that's tough. It wasn't foreseeing that. The number one seed get beat by...
No, but they could meet, they being Iowa State and Kansas, could meet in a regional final down in Kansas City.
That would be...
And then that's when we all pile into Deb's car and go with her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It'd be interesting. I like Nevada. I do.
You just like Reno.
It's not bad. It's not bad. I've driven through it a couple times, but it's not bad.
Very quickly, haven't you, on your way to training camp?
No, driving home. Back here from San Francisco. We're driving from San Jose, making that drive. You could go up through Reno to get onto I-80.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did you ever visit the Godfather's spread on Lake Tahoe?
No. No, we drive right around it, okay. but it's always the winter. I'm driving back home, so it was, you get like 7 feet of snow literally on the side of the road. You're just like, holy smokes. Kind of impressive, actually.
TJ, are you ready for the madness?
Oh, yeah. Best consecutive 4 days of the year, bar none.
It'll be outstanding. We'll make sure the Wi-Fi is working for you.
I'll try. Masters week for me, best 4 days in a row.
Yeah, you'll be there on site. All right, Yowie's tomorrow. Come find us there in the afternoon, 3 to 6. Yowie's, your headquarters for the tournament. 8th and Q, we want to see you down there. No Hail Varsity tomorrow or Friday, but we'll talk to you tomorrow morning. Have a good one. Enjoy the tournament.